Oh yes, guilty movie pleasure fans. You may have heard of a little film called Cloverfield back in the day that blew our minds with its shaky cam monster movie, Fun Times. And then, when 10 Cloverfield Lane came out and you were like, oh my god, what was this? I hadn't heard of this except for like 3 months before. And then Netflix blew our brains apart on Super Bowl Sunday when they said, guess what? New Cloverfield movie coming out and it's tonight. And then we watched it. And we're going to talk about it right now. The Cloverfield Paradox.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasures.
That is what happens when you completely wing an intro and it sucks.
Yeah, no spoilers, but this is going to be a fun video we're posting later of Ben coming up with that. You're never going to believe this, but that might have been off the cuff.
That might have been off the cuff. Yeah. I think I said 10 Cloverfield Kane.
Perhaps.
Instead of Lane?
Perhaps.
All right. Well, let's dive right into this. So, hey, if it's your first time watching, thanks. Thanks for watching. Maybe you clicked on it because you're like, oh, I want to know if they have something positive to say about Cloverfield Paradox. Is everyone else shit on it? And I loved it. It's my favorite science fiction film of all time. I'm going to just come right out the gates and say that's probably not going to happen, but there are some decent things about it. Hey, and if you haven't seen us before, I'm your host, Ben Begley, at The Ben Begley, and this is my co-host, Jesse McIntosh.
Hi, I'm Jesse McIntosh.
Where can they find you, Jesse?
At Too Much Jesse.
Yeah, you can find us at Guilty Movie Guys, where, as we've said many times in the past, it takes literally one suggestion to shape our show.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
To shape our lives.
To shape our lives.
If we're being honest.
Because, I mean, you had to watch this for the first time.
Yeah.
I had to read a plot synopsis for it, because let's get into it. Let's just hop right in.
Okay.
Have you seen the other Cloverfield movies?
I have, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what is your... We're just going to dive right in, because we got a lot to unpack in this ridiculous movie.
I think that we should state a couple more times that we're going to dive right
let's
in
just
before
take,
we do it.
Let's just... Hey, let's, guys, talk about five... For the first 5 minutes of the show, talk about how we're going to dive right in.
You're like a fourth grader on the high dive right now. You're like, I'm just going to dive right in. I'm
usually I have some kind of pseudo-political rant, some tangent about another movie I saw.
Yeah.
Ooh, I will talk about Annihilation at some point.
Okay, I saw The House this week, and that is not good.
I don't think anyone was concerned that it was good.
And if no one had doubts, but
it's hot
I just
as shit in here, by the way.
Confirm everyone's suspicions that The House is not good.
I'm sweating and drinking coffee while we talk right now. Anyway, so Jesse, I don't know when I first saw Cloverfield, and I want to know what you think of the first. Let's in a really quick recap of our feelings of the franchise in general.
Sure.
Before we get to Cloverfield Paradox, so we're not going to dive in. We're going to dip our toes in. The first Cloverfield I thought was a lot of fun. I thought it was a cool way to do a monster movie. I thought it was a really interesting use of the found footage genre, which gets really tired. I thought T.J. Miller, it was fun. I think that was like his first major thing, if I remember right. I'd never seen him before, and he was hilarious. You got T.J. Miller, you had...
he was in like Knock.
Odette Yusman, I think, was in it. Yeah. Lizzie Kaplan, who's now in Masters of Sex and everything. So when you go back and watch it now, you're like, holy shit. All these people are super famous, or at least like well known by now.
Yeah,
and they were nobodies; they were no names. The only issue I had with the first Cloverfield was sometimes it got so shaky I got nauseous watching it.
Sure,
and that's what pisses me off about the found footage genre in general, is that by now everybody has an iPhone, everybody films their like I film my daughter dancing along the head, shoulders, knees, and toes like I'm a Steadicam artist, you know. So we don't need to show the audience like it's handheld. We promise this is a documentary, you know, because people are more adept at filmmaking.
Yeah.
Just in general. I'm not saying everybody's an amazing DP, but they're not like this.
Well, what we should do is we should just start referring to like all Steadicam work as handheld and like found footage type film. just to turn the narrative more in the direction of like people are capable of using cameras and not making
shaking.
You nauseous.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my one issue, and then the second issue was I felt like they showed the monster for too long at the end, right before it eats T.J. Miller in the first one. Spoiler alert, it's like 20 years old or 15 years old. 10, maybe, I don't know. But
it came out last year.
Yeah, last year. That was my only other thing, is that they focused it, because I liked just hinting at the monster more.
Yeah.
And then 10 Cloverfield Lane, I remember being like, oh, this is going to be crazy. Like, how are they going to pull this off? And it worked so well, because it was this contained psychological thriller that I almost wish had come before Cloverfield, because the last act of that movie isn't a surprise if you know it's connected to the Cloverfield universe.
Right.
When there's actually an alien invasion. But if that had come first, you'd be like, but then again, would you be like, what the fuck just happened? Yeah, like, would you be like, this jumped the shark?
I think you probably would.
Because my wife, Renee, loves 10 Cloverfield Lane until the last 10 minutes. And she's like, didn't need to happen.
Had she not seen Cloverfield
before? No, she had. She just thought it was she liked it before it became action-y. And I was like, that was my favorite. That was the greatest way to end it ever, to pay off. 10 Cloverfield Lane to me is the pinnacle of the series.
So
it's my favorite.
We should mention 10 Cloverfield Lane and Cloverfield Paradox were not written to be part of the Cloverfield extended universe, right? They were written independent of any ties and sort of shoehorned into this world.
But I think the difference is 10 Cloverfield Lane was shoehorned into the world prior to production.
Right.
Cloverfield Paradox had started shooting as God Particle.
Yes.
And then became a... J.J. Abrams even said this in a Q&A that they had been thinking about it and then started reshooting as they went, and it really shows.
Yeah.
It to me, it's the least connected, but most, if that makes sense, at the same time. It's like cobbled together, but also doesn't really make as much sense how it's connected as like 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Connected to the original,
you mean? The original, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, but I want to know what you're... Now that I just dissected the entire trilogy, what do you think of the first two? And
So the first two... I honestly don't really remember the original Cloverfield. I saw it and I remember enjoying it, but I couldn't like dissect specific parts of it. But I remember enjoying it. And then I was a little late to 10 Cloverfield Lane. I had heard a lot of really good things about it, believe it or not. I'd heard a lot of really good things about it. And it didn't ruin it for me. Like, I went in with high expectations and it met my expectations. And I thought it was really well done. And I was into it the whole time.
Yeah.
John Goodman was great in it.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead is like, I think she's fantastic. I want her in more movies. Yeah. She's so good.
Yeah. It was really interesting. And I love the idea of just telling like tangential stories.
Yeah.
So like something that is going on in the world that isn't necessarily connected, but like obviously it's spoiled by the title and by people talking about it, but like finding out later that it's part of this world that we already know.
You don't fully know how 10 Cloverfield Lane's gonna connect until the end, when it becomes a fucking badass action movie.
Right.
And she becomes like Ripley out of nowhere. And it's great.
Yeah.
But they set her up as being super like the MacGyver of badass female action heroes, like making her own suit out of just like, if I remember it, there's like all these rubber materials. She made like a hazmat suit and stuff. Mm-hmm. So when Cloverfield Paradox was first, I remember like I have an ongoing list because I'm super ADD.
Okay.
I mean, OCD and ADD. I have an ongoing list on my phone of every movie I want to see in theaters that's coming out this year.
Okay.
And that was on my list. And I missed the Super Bowl. I was at a party, but it was like a party with babies. So I was like chasing my daughter around most of the time. I barely saw anything.
Sounds
like fun. And I didn't even see the Cloverfield Paradox trailer. And people were like, oh shit, it's dropping on Netflix tonight. I was like, no fucking way. That's insane.
Way.
That's insane. So like, just the business model of this was awesome.
So we had talked about this a couple weeks ago because when they were doing episodes 7, 8, and 9 of Star Wars, I maintained for a long time, and they probably couldn't have done this with Star Wars, but episode 7, there was so much hype going up to it, and there was so much buildup, and we were in that sort of pocket where musical artists were dropping albums as a surprise.
Yeah.
They're just all of a sudden, Beyonce has a new album, or Kanye has a new album.
Yeah.
And I thought that they could have, the same number of people would have seen Star Wars if they just all of a sudden were like, hey, Star Wars is out.
Yeah.
I think it would cause chaos, and I think they could have made, again, maybe not Star Wars, but like some second tier franchise.
I think more movies should do that.
Could capitalize on the buzz of like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's happening right now. It would be impossible because theaters like would have to justify why they have 10 empty screens and like not assign anything to it. But like, I think that this is a really smart thing to do, especially for Netflix, who has things available immediately and has things in production for an indefinite amount of time, and they never have to tell you when it's coming or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's good, and I think it creates buzz, especially when people were so excited about 10 Cloverfield Lane.
I mean, everybody was talking about it for like a solid week, and then everybody watched it, and it was a turn. I scoured the internet to try and find a good review, a positive review. It's really difficult. It sits at 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yep.
It's a rough movie, but I don't think it's terrible. I just think it's severely misguided. I think that it was a noble attempt, and I think that the idea of the marketing of it was really revolutionary, and I think that's going to change the way things go from here. And I think that more people are going to try that stunt and maybe not succeed as much because Cloverfield has this kind of mystique to it, like this weird, like, what is it? What does it mean type of thing. It feels like this movie, because supposedly there's a Cloverfield 4 coming out at the end of the year, which people
at the end of this year?
Yeah, supposedly. Which people have just joked that J.J. Abrams is going to show up on your doorstep with a Blu-ray and be like, here you go, here's the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
People online have been saying that. But supposedly it takes place in World War One or Two. I can't remember. And there's I think it's World War II, and there's Allied forces finding out that there's some kind of supernatural testing going on with the German soldiers,
okay.
Which is bizarre. And in your brain, you go, how do they connect it to the Cloverfield universe? And then you go, oh, they made Cloverfield Paradox just for the simple fact that they can then break all their continuity and rules,
sure.
Is what it feels like.
Sure.
Is that this was just shoehorned into the Cloverfield universe just to say, forget trying to connect it to anything. Now anything bizarre can have a Cloverfield umbrella.
Yeah, it is
because
sort of
time and space doesn't matter anymore.
Sure, sure.
Spoilers.
It is sort of interesting, the idea that like they're sort of dipping their toes in different genres.
Yeah, I love that,
to sort of connect all these stories together.
I think that this. We'll get to that. Let's do the plot in under 3 minutes, because then we're really gonna dive into this.
Pretty soon we're gonna dive.
Pretty
in.
Soon.
I don't know.
We're gonna dive right in. This is how I dive.
Are you jumping over a fence?
No,
are
I'm
you?
Like I'm like a like an elf ornament hanging on a cup, like
you're,
a Christmas mug.
Also, you could be the neighbor from Home Improvement.
Hey, like, Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson. Wilson.
All right, let's do the plot in under 3 minutes. Are we ready in the booth, Marissa?
Let's try.
Oh hey!
Oh
wait, is this Steve? Oh my God, you guys changed on me. We didn't even know. Okay. All right, welcome.
That moment was probably confusing for our audience,
super.
But we had a different...
Yes, I am.
Oh, hey guys. Yeah, now my voice is on the broadcast.
Probably. All right, perfect. Let's do this. Let's try and... Jesse, you're going to have to help me out. You've seen it sooner than I did.
Yeah.
And more recently than I have.
But you're better at this than I am, so...
Here we go!
We'll do the best we can.
All right.
Rock and roll, guys. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Okay, because of my handy-dandy cheat sheet here, it's the year 2028, and the Earth is suffering an energy crisis, and there's, I forget her name, somebody, what's her name?
Ava.
Yep. Ava and her husband, Michael, mm-hmm. are debating if she should go on this mission, because they're going to try and do this particle accelerator in space, and try and get this sustainable energy source, and he's like, if you do go, we might not survive, but if you don't go, the Earth won't survive, and you're like, damn, dude, that's good, you sacrifice it. Then they just jump up into space, and they're starting it up.
It's supposed to be a six-month mission,
and
it turns out it's like 2 years.
And they failed several times.
They keep trying to do this, and there's tension on deck, and they do it one more time, and it seems to be working, and then all of a sudden, like, everything sort of like goes dark and everything
chaos.
Chaotic,
and they look out the window, or the viewing window, and the Earth isn't there anymore. They can't find it on any of the sensors. Their cube of whatever it is gone.
Yeah.
They don't know what's going on. The worms are gone. All this crazy shit's happening. They have, by the way, the best international cast ever in this movie.
Yes.
It's like such an amazing cast, which is a shame. And then there's like, they hear screaming coming from down the corridor,
from the wall,
and they open it up, and there's a woman trapped inside with like parts of the wires going through her skin, and they cut her out, and then they realize that she's part of the crew, and they start to piece together that they're in a different dimension where they basically crashed into where this other Shepard ship was. That ship crashed, she ended up on their ship, and then weird shit starts happening.
And so Ava's family in this other universe is still alive. We find out that she burned her children to death.
Because she was sucking power off, mooching power off of another illegal source.
She also advises them not to trust Daniel Brühl.
The new girl, Jensen.
Yeah, advises the crew.
Right.
And so they throw him in lockup, and then he comes out of lockup, and Chris O'Dowd gets his arm sucked into the ship, and then his arm gets cut off.
And Volkov starts having worms crawling around his eyes, and he makes a 3D gun for some reason.
He makes a 3D gun, and then all the worms explode out of him, and he dies. And then
Chris O'Dowd's arm shows up and starts crawling around, and Wright's...
Wright's cut him open, and that's when the worms jump out.
So Volkov got both the worms and the generator thing for some reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so then the ship starts to malfunction or some shit. I don't remember now.
And then they
take us home.
She figures out that it's condensation, so she goes to like clean it up, and then all the water comes pouring in, and then it explodes, and she freezes.
Yeah.
And then
Jensen turns on everybody because she's like, "Hey, you know that's not my world. You can't take me back to your world. We need this here to save our world. They need the shepherd here to save this version of Earth." So she starts turning on the crew. She shoots one of the guys. I don't remember who. And then Ava and her have a fight. Ava overpowers her. She pulls a fucking Ripley, shoots the glass, and then she goes flying out into space and freezes.
Yep.
And then
they go back to Earth, and we find out that the boyfriend is like, "No, don't send them back because of all the shit that's happening."
And then
the
monster comes out. Hey, I remembered more of it than I thought.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, I haven't seen this movie in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So I saw it the week of Super Bowl.
I've watched it every day for the last 3 weeks.
When did you watch it?
Every single day. I watched it yesterday.
Okay. Now let's get into hey, what are we going to do?
Let's dive right in.
Let's dive right in.
Yeah, we might as well.
So
it's time.
I was so pumped for this movie, and then all the review. I didn't see it right after the Super Bowl. I saw it like 4 days later, and all these reviews started coming out, and people started shitting on it. So I lowered my expectations for it, and it started off. I'll admit, the first like half, I was like, this is kind of fun and bizarre, and like, I'm down. I'm like, even once the arm thing happened, I was kind of like, what the fuck's going on? But maybe it'll make sense, right? My biggest gripe of this movie is that there's several gripes, but the biggest thing for me is that they set up all this weird shit, and Donald Logue, which let's just play that clip to get into like the rules of this movie now, because this particle accelerator,
I think it's number two.
This so particle accelerator ripped a hole in space. And
because that accelerator is 1,000 times more powerful than any ever built. Every time they test it, they risk ripping open the membrane of space-time.
Okay.
Smashing together multiple dimensions, shattering reality, and not just on that station, everywhere. This experiment could unleash chaos, the likes of which we have never seen.
Which sounds awesome, but also sounds like a really easy way to go, hey, nothing has to make sense for the rest of this movie, which I was afraid he was getting at.
Yeah.
And then they totally pay that off.
Yeah. So
where nothing makes sense.
A couple of things here. One, maybe I just haven't seen a ton of like alien type space adventure movies.
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff in this movie that I really, really, really liked.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff that I hadn't seen before. This particular clip is a colossal waste of Donald Logue. Like, he's a very well-acclaimed actor.
He's awesome.
And he's on a screen. Like, he's not even there physically.
It's like he Skyped in his performance.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
Well, you know, he's supposed to be, I read that, I can't remember now if he's the brother to John Goodman or related to, he has the same last name as John Goodman. And John Goodman was a conspiracy nut as well in 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Great.
So that's how he connects.
Great.
But hopefully Donald Logue isn't like murdering women and keeping them.
Right.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen 10 Cloverfield. If you haven't seen 10 Cloverfield Lane, I don't know why you're watching the Cloverfield Paradox thing.
Do that one first, that for one, sure.
Do that one only if you have one to choose.
But the other thing is like, this is so, there's so much in here that you have to suspend your disbelief about.
Yeah.
Like, no rational human could get away with saying one of those things, let alone, like, all three of, like, space-time continuum, rip a hole in different realities.
Did this clip mention demons?
Demons and monsters.
Yeah.
Like, all three of those things, you can't say that credibly in any media and, like, have that broadcast.
Unless it's Fox News.
Yeah, for sure. Right, but, like, even then, like, is Fox News on the deck of the spaceship that is about to save the planet and they're like, well, this guy has some fucking good points. Yeah. I don't know.
It's so weird. That's what's so strange. So this movie, they set that up and then all this weird shit happens, which we'll get into. And what really annoyed me is if you're going to go weird, then just keep going weirder. And then the third act just kind of becomes like a Michael Bay space survival movie. Like, not that Gravity was Michael Bay, but it becomes like a standard space survival, Armageddon, everything we've seen in all these space movies before where it's like, the thing is jammed. We got to get out there manually. And, I died because I helped save everybody else. And
right.
And then it even gets into like Danny Boyle's Sunshine territory where Sam Neill goes nuts in that one and Jensen goes nuts in this one. Only we don't get the badass thing where Sam Neill's face gets melted and his eyes are burned off and he can't see. Oh, no, that's Event Horizon. I'm confusing the two. Sam Neill's in Event Horizon. I forget who goes nuts in Sunshine. But like Sunshine and Event Horizon are basically the same movie as this, but better.
Okay.
It's the same movie. Only because it becomes a conventional space movie the last half.
Sure.
It could have been like, you have Chris O'Dowd's arm disappear into a wall and he has a perfectly severed, like dried off, not bleeding nub
yes.
that has the bone and muscle exposed and it's just chilling there.
Yes.
And then his other arm comes as a sentient being, like, what is it, the Thing or whatever?
From the Adams family. Uh-huh.
He's just crawling along and points and then writes, open up Volkov. And then also, later on when it's just sitting there in a little cage, tapping right. its fingers, go bonkers then. And I don't know who, at what point those things were added in, or if those other bonkers things were taken out to Cloverfield it up. I don't know. That's the most frustrating thing. Just go bananas then. Have demons running around the ship.
Yeah.
Have monsters in the ship. I kept waiting for fucking monsters. He says demons and monsters are coming.
Yeah.
But they only appear on Earth and we don't even see how they appear.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I got mad.
Yeah, you sure did. Take a breath. You should not have dove in.
I fucking dove in.
You should have
dove in head first
on the little ladder.
To the 3 foot side of the pool, the kiddie section.
Yeah, so I fully heard the demons and monsters thing as just like, this is what's about to happen to Earth. This is how we're tying everything
Absolutely.
In. Not that like, this is what's going to happen on the spaceship. The arm into the wall thing was like super fucking cool. And yeah. then having his severed arm become like an assistant to find Weird. their tracker or like whatever I forget what's the name of the like, the, what they call it?
Oh, what? Hold on. Cut Volkov open and the gyroscope.
The gyroscope.
Right. Whatever the hell that.
Yeah. For the arm to be their assistant in finding the gyroscope is stupid. Like that was a stupid 10 minutes of film.
It doesn't even make sense to the. That's the thing. So they claim that this movie that they came into another dimension where all the crew except Jensen died.
Right.
Because their ship basically occupied the same space.
Right.
And I guess just shove that one out of the way, like, fuck you, we're here.
Right.
See ya. But Jensen then became molded with that ship, then the Shepherd from Earth 1, we'll say.
Yes.
Let's go to DC Universe. Earth 2
yep.
is what we'll call it. Their Shepherd is lying in the ocean, all the crew's dead. So if Chris O'Dowd's Earth 2 arm is with him dying, drowning in the ocean, this is an Earth 3, 4, 5, Earth 72 arm that happens to know this dimensional arm's. This dimensional gyroscope's location.
Right.
How?
Right.
How?
Yeah.
And well, if you're going to do that, then go even crazier.
But like, here's my advice. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
If they could cut out the arm thing, would have been so much better.
Yeah. Because, like I said, I like the arm thing. I like that they find Jensen with wires through her.
That was awesome.
I've never seen that on
I like before. The worms.
The worms are cool.
The gyroscope
is a yada yada. Like, this is, you know,
first
whatever.
Off, why does Volkov get... Volkov is the Russian guy. It's like this movie had it out for the Russians, because he gets... Everything bad happens to Volkov.
Yeah.
We're going to go all over the place with this movie.
Yeah, so...
Should we start at the beginning or no?
We can, but like...
Fuck it,
since we're here already, yeah. What I thought was going on, and this would have been cooler, not that, like, I could have come up with this pre-filming.
Should we explain what they show of Volkov first?
Well, this is not even like fully related to what happens.
Okay, yeah, please.
But Jensen first mentions that she is the comm director or like who
she's whoever Ava's position.
She's the
yeah. Yeah, yeah, she's Ava's oh my god.
Or she says everyone on the ship except for
she's an engineer. Everybody but Ava was on the ship. Because Ava stayed back in Earth 2 because her family didn't die in Earth 2, so she had a reason to stay on Earth.
But right, she wasn't there. But didn't she say that she was the Asian lady? Like she was.
Yeah, but Tam wasn't there either.
Tam wasn't there. So the first person that goes is Tam.
Yeah.
Then when she's changing after like they decide that she can help them like figure out how to get back, she changes out of the hospital gown that she's in, and she puts on, I think the Russian guy's. Outfit or whoever's outfit she puts on is the next person to die. And so I was like, is she just like systematically taking all of them down by like inhabiting them? That would have been cool.
Would have been awesome.
It's
not that though.
It's not that at all. No. But like I sort of saw that developing and I was like, this is going to be fucking awesome.
That's why the first half of this movie is awesome. Because you see things where you're like, ooh, where is this going? And then it goes nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. There is a lot to like about this movie. It's just, it's so frustrating at the same time because it could have been fucking amazing. This movie could have been fantastic. The problem is, it should have either been God Particle or a Cloverfield movie.
Yeah.
The problem is, you can tell that they just went, you're Cloverfield now!
Yeah.
You know, because all that Earth stuff I read wasn't even in the first cut. That they added the Earth stuff in. Of course they did,
because it was so disconnected.
Because audiences were like, what the fuck? How is this Cloverfield?
Right.
So there's a bunch of Earth sequences where Michael, Ava's husband, is driving around trying to figure out what's going on. Everything's going into chaos. He finds this girl at a hospital, and they show a shadow of the creature from Cloverfield, the first movie. Uh-huh. Which some people then act like the end when the giant monster pops up in the clouds is a big surprise reveal. I'm like, they showed the monster at the hospital. Like, right. They showed a clear shadow. Because one reviewer was like, blink and you miss it. And I'm like, did you fall asleep and miss it? Because it's super obvious.
Yeah.
They're not trying to hide that the monsters are already there.
It's also like, again, it's called Cloverfield Paradox. Like, you know that the monster's
there. It is
there.
A surprise that the monster's the size of the, you know, the atmosphere, because in the first movie they even said it's a baby that's fighting and that's destroying New York. But there's so many here's how I'll say, before we go plot by plot, how I wish it connected to Cloverfield, which is I wish that Ava's spaceship in the end crashing into the ocean tied into in the first Cloverfield movie, they have a video of the main couple in it, and behind them, when they're on the Ferris wheel, something falls in the atmosphere and hits the ocean. Mm-hmm. That's the most logical way to be like, cool, this is how you connect.
Right.
So why didn't they just do that? Like,
right.
Like, you could have, here's how you could have fixed that. You could have made Earth 2 already be inhabited by these monsters, and that because they smashed dimensions with Earth 2, they come over into Earth 1. And then the end of Cloverfield Paradox is where the monsters are now entering our atmosphere as well.
Yeah.
And then you don't need all the side story stuff with Michael that doesn't really go anywhere and doesn't really build up anything.
Or what if Earth 2 has the monsters and Ava makes it to Earth 2? And everything we've seen already is on Earth 2.
Exactly.
Or...
sure.
Or what if it's not a Cloverfield movie?
That too.
Yeah. Right? Because like... What were you going to say?
I want to know I would love to read the original God Particle script, because
I bet it's great.
I bet it's fantastic.
I bet it's great, because everything that isn't force-fed is interesting.
Yep.
Like the conflict, Ava's conflict of like, do I go warn this facsimile of my family that they might die?
Do I stay with them,
right?
But that's not my family?
Or do I go be with a real person that I have a real relationship with, even though it's in a world where my family is ruined?
Yeah.
Like, that's a really interesting conflict.
Absolutely.
Two worlds colliding and parts of different worlds coming together is an interesting thing, especially when you're like isolated in a space station and you can't go anywhere. Like, having to deal with those things is really interesting.
Yeah.
So those two things are interesting enough. You don't have to introduce monsters and like...
Especially since clearly in space, there's nothing to do with monsters.
Yeah,
like they don't even see a monster fly by and go, "Oh, what the fuck is that?"
Right.
It's never in space, as far as they know. They just switch places with another spaceship, and somehow because of that, monsters are on Earth. So it doesn't really fully connect.
Right.
It makes no. What's that? How's that? Have I been screaming the entire time? All right.
That's a yes.
That's a yes.
Yeah.
So the other thing is that I don't usually get this fired up. The other thing is when Michael and the girl from the hospital go to the bunker, like the shelter, I was the underground shelter, I was like, oh shit, this is going to be John Goodman's, and we're going to find out that he murdered them or something,
right?
And it doesn't connect at all. It's like, no, you had an opportunity to directly connect this with 10 Cloverfield Lane, and instead it's just another random paranoid guy's fallout shelter?
Yeah, also,
no!
was the best we could do. A side character finds a random young person who like has no connection to anything. Like, that's the best we could do on Earth.
I know it's hard to like get Mary Elizabeth Winstead back, maybe for contractual reasons or money. Have him find her. Have him find one of the cast members who isn't working as much from the first Cloverfield movie.
Right.
Tie it in somehow.
Yeah.
Have her be the daughter of one of somebody, you know.
Yeah.
Or the sister, the younger sister. But yeah, it's just so indirectly
or
tied in.
Or have him find Donald Logue so that we can use Donald Logue some more.
Have her be Donald Logue's daughter, and then they team up.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome. But here's, so let's get into a little bit of, it's such a shame too, because this cast is fantastic.
The cast is
David
great.
Oyelowo, who is Martin Luther King Jr. in Selma. Uh-huh. He's in a ton of stuff. We have Zhang Ziyi from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, who's amazing. We have, why can't I remember her name? She was in Guardians Volume 2. She plays Jensen. She's awesome.
Oh, yeah,
she's in a bunch of stuff too. Danielle Brühl, who was in Civil War, who was in a bunch of better.
That's
Zhang Ziyi.
Zhang Ziyi. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There you go.
No, sorry. It was Jensen. It's fine. It doesn't.
Oh, okay.
But the cast is great, and it's an international cast. It just it screams big budget, making a ton of money internationally. Everybody coming together, like, look at how cool and diverse this cast is. And then it's like, oh no.
Yeah.
And you can tell by the actors in the Q&A that they sign up for a totally different movie. Like David Oyelowo, I think I'm saying his last name right.
That sounds right to me.
He was saying how he was talking to the woman who plays Jensen, and I feel bad for getting her name. But he was talking to her at the Q&A, and he was like, when they watched the movie, they were just like, oh, this is what was going on. Like they didn't even know what was happening while they were filming because things were changing so rapidly.
Yeah.
Which doesn't show in their performances. The one thing great about this movie is the acting. The woman who plays Ava is fucking great.
Yeah.
Like, the acting is really good.
Yeah.
Just nothing. And some of the plot points are awesome.
Yeah, like I said, and you sort of touched on it also, like, the first half of it is really good, and it throws a bunch of things out there that really get you interested and really get you hooked on what's about to happen.
And then just becomes a standard space fix the ship mission.
I mean, So, again, this is like me coming maybe from a place of not having seen a bunch of these movies, but the scene
we've done no sound clips
I know,
yet.
I know, we've done one.
Oh, shit.
But that's okay, because I think this is an interesting conversation. I think it's important to have. But, like, the woman who gets frozen, has that happened before? Have we seen that?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's. I think in Event Horizon they did it even cooler, where the guy flies out, and it's completely unrealistic. But he flies out into space and his veins start popping. Did we watch that together?
Yeah, we did.
And he spews out the blood and everything, which is completely unrealistic.
Right. But I just mean, like, she's still inside. And she's, like, I wish they had walked back by that window and just had her face frozen there. Because, like,
I don't know if that's happened
that
before.
That was super cool. Like, they were in the middle of having, like, a, oh, no, I'm about to die moment. And the door flies out and the water immediately freezes.
So awesome.
And she's frozen in the window having that moment.
You know, I do remember that being a really awesome moment. I don't remember if I've seen that before, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
I've seen people get sucked out in space and frozen.
Right, they get sucked out. But being submerged in water and the door flying open and immediately being frozen and encapsulated.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's cool.
Let's do clip number one. Let's do some of these sound clips. Clip number one.
Yeah, so this is...
Here you go. You and I will survive.
Oh, we will survive. He does say that.
I'm afraid if you don't. No.
That sets up some good stakes. You're like, damn, this guy's like, hey, we can handle long distance of you being in space thousands and thousands and thousands, like as far away as humanly possible, until you hop into another dimension, and then you're way far away.
Right, which only one person on Earth anticipated.
One person.
The great Donald.
Everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, I remember people in real life I think it was in France, they were firing up a particle accelerator, and physicists and people and scientists were freaking out about it. They were like, guys, you don't understand. You could rip a wormhole into our Earth and, like, fuck up everything.
Is that for real? Like, scientists are saying this?
There's a giant fear that, yes, it will tear a hole in space. So what he's saying
based on what?
What he's saying is based on actual, like, fears of astrophysicists and things like that, and, like, Stephen Hawking and things like that. I wish I had more research on it so I sounded more informed.
No, that's okay.
But I have read about it in the past where it's like, when that happened in France, there was genuine concern about it, like, basically swallowing the Earth whole. Like, it just creates a black hole on Earth is what it would do.
Yeah, okay.
That's more so what it would do, more than rip a hole and just bring monsters
through. Go a different dimension, yeah.
Yeah, more likely our Earth would just collapse in on itself in a black hole and we'd all die.
I'll buy that.
Yeah. So let's do clip number three real quick.
Oh, we're definitely not in Kentucky anymore.
Kansas.
Really? Who gives a shit?
I love that because that's a great, there are some great moments like that here where it's like, why are you fucking correcting my reference when we just skipped into another dimension?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? I wish more movies did that, where people call them out on it and really...
Yeah, it's also pretty good, because, like, that's the Russian guy saying that, and, like, yeah. Of course, why would he know that reference,
yeah, like,
or the specifics of it?
Yeah, fuck you, dude, for correcting him. Do you know all the different Russian, right. Like, countries or states or, you know, whatever, like...
I don't
even know any except Russia. I know Moscow.
That's one. I know St. Petersburg.
St. Petersburg, yeah. Cities, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you have it.
I know.
See?
They cheat during the Olympics.
So how?
That's something I know.
Cheaters. And during elections.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, though. It's like, screw you, American, for thinking everybody knows where Kansas is. I bet you couldn't even point it out on a U.S. map. A lot of people have trouble with
it's the middle. The middle states are tough.
The middle states, you're like, ugh, yeah. Which one's North
the
Dakota?
The middle and the Northeast. Those all sort of run into,
yeah, yeah. Together.
I just to like jump back, I know we're like... pushing against it a little, yeah. Bit with the sound clips, but the first sound clip, I just wanted to say that like the way they set up Earth, it's very simple and
yeah,
and like they don't spend a lot of time there, but I think they do a really, really good job in 2 minutes on Earth
world. Absolutely. Building.
Like that's, it's really, really nice.
Yeah, the only other thing is though that doesn't really connect with the first Cloverfield pre-monster world, because they're not having an energy crisis, they're all just partying in their penthouse apartments,
right?
Unless they're just like the wealthy elite that don't have to worry about the energy.
Could be. Sounds maybe. Like DJ Miller.
Can we play? So clip number four is when they, shit's starting to get weird. They've transferred into this other dimension and they're noticing things aren't where they used to be.
Hey, the worms are missing. Guys, the worms are gone.
Chris O'Dowd's great in this movie, too.
It's really funny.
I love him in this movie.
Yeah. I did wonder, like, at some point, they maybe should have just said, like, this is what the worms are for.
Yeah.
Because, like...
just in space.
Yeah, they just have a bunch of worms, and I don't really know why.
So the worms are missing, and we find out where they are.
Yeah.
Because we didn't really get into Volkov. Volkov starts getting, like, weird. I thought he was getting, like, possessed, since Donald Logue brought up demons. I thought he was being possessed like an Event Horizon type thing. Like, yeah. Something was possessing him. Because he looked in his eye, and his eye shifts really weird, and like, right? It goes like...
Yeah, so they set it up first, just him like...
Rubbing it.
Yeah.
It's like a body horror moment, which is awesome,
yeah.
But then never pays off.
Yeah, so the eye flips all the way to the other side, and then he rubs it, and then it flips all the way the other way. And then it seems like he might be possessed, because he then starts talking to himself a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he goes, and like you mentioned earlier, makes a 3D... gun with a 3D printer,
which you would think they'd have safety protocols about that on a ship if they were worried, you know, yes. Like maybe you can make anything but something that can kill your other crewmates,
right?
And there's a worm crawling in his eye at one point.
The NRA had their hooks on
the space station. You gotta be, it's everybody's right to have a 3D printed gun.
That's the Second Amendment in the United States.
Arm the astronauts, yeah. Arm the teachers, arm the astronauts. That's what the NRA wants. So he has a worm crawling in his eye, right, at one point?
Yes.
And then, so there's all this weird shit happening where you're like, oh, this is going to build, and like, this is going to be happening to other people, or like, maybe his, and once they brought in the other dimension, I was like, oh, maybe his Earth 2 self combined with him, and he's hearing the Earth 2 person's thoughts. I was like, sweet!
Yeah.
And then he just tries to shoot people. He tries to kill. Does he kill anybody?
I don't think he shoots. I think he just comes in and threatens them, and then he becomes overcome with the worms, and his head explodes.
And he spews worms out everywhere, and then he's dead.
Right.
And apparently all the worms ended up in him. And then, like we said, later on, Chris O'Dowd's disembodied yet sentient arm writes, cut him open, and points at Volkov. And somehow Volkov just got the short straw. Yeah. He drew the short straw in this dimensional leap. Because he not only had apparently all the worms inside of him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the gyroscope inside of him, which, how was he living with a fucking giant, what looks like the Tesseract from Marvel?
It wasn't for long.
Inside.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. What killed him, the gyroscope or the worms?
It seems like the worms did. Like, yeah.
You think the gyroscope would?
Because, well, the worms were like everywhere. Yeah.
The
gyroscope was just like a kidney stone.
It's just a giant kidney stone.
Yeah.
And they cut it out of him. They're like, oh, look, great. Now we can power the ship again.
And then it was immediately clean. I don't know what they did to it. But it was just clean.
Hey, maybe, you know, it's
a paradox. It doesn't make sense.
It's so true. Jesus so Christ. True. So poor Volkov. Yeah. And it doesn't make any sense. And I thought they were going to do more body horror. Like, other crew members were going to start having other things. Like, how cool would it have been if, like, one of them started growing, like, a third arm because the Earth 2 version of them combined with them? Like, if they went more in the horror element of it,
yeah,
it would have been way more interesting. But it starts doing that and then shifts, and then it's just like too many movies in one movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And can we play? Let's play. So this is when Chris O'Dowd's arm just disappears. He's cleaning he's suctioning off with this awesome, like, metal caulk.
Yes.
I would say.
Yeah.
Where's my arm? Oh! Where's my bloody arm?
Poor guy.
You know what? I will say, sometimes I'm a heavy sleeper.
Yeah, are you?
And I sleep on my side. Mm-hmm. And if I sleep on my arm wrong, it goes to sleep.
Yeah.
And I rolled over one time and I was still so sleepy, I couldn't feel my arm. I thought it was gone. And I wake up Renee freaking out and I'm like,
where's my arm? Oh, where's my bloody arm?
This is actually a real story, and mm-hmm. I don't need the sound clip for this, but just to piggyback off
what you just said. Yeah.
One time I woke up and I happened to be sleeping on my stomach, and somehow over the course of the evening, I had crossed my arms.
Like a face down vampire pose?
Kind of, yeah. And was sleeping on my arms. And I woke up and both of my arms were asleep and I couldn't get up. I had to, like, rock and gain momentum to turn over on my side. And it felt like a half an hour, but it was probably 15 seconds.
That's a cautionary tale.
I couldn't push myself up.
You know, that's a cautionary tale, kids.
Yeah.
Don't reverse vampires face down sleep. You know, it's bad for you.
I learned my lesson.
I would have loved to have seen that on, like, a web, like, you had, like, that on video somehow. Just like, fuck.
Just like the transition from like partially conscious to fully conscious and terrified of, like, am I gonna die like this?
Oh my god!
Yeah,
you just, like, start smothering yourself on the pillow. Yeah. Like, how do I get out of this? Oh god! How do I get out of this? So I will say also, Jensen gets the second. I would say she gets the second worst first dimensional shorts. She gets the second shortest straw.
Yeah.
Because that was a great creepy moment. I know we already talked about it, but, like, hearing these wails coming from a panel, opening it up, and then seeing Jensen, a woman just trapped in these wires, you're like, and like, cables coming out of her and piercing her skin, it's like, she was up and walking around pretty well for having been impaled by several wires and electronic equipment.
Begs the question, impaled, or they just, like, all of a sudden existed in her? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how...
there was blood coming out. What was
the process? Yeah. But because they, like, I guess pulled... Or, yeah, you're right. There were holes
in her. She was healed really quickly and walking around fighting.
She was bleeding, but Chris O'Dowd got his arm cut off and, like, no blood.
Yeah, dude, it's a paradox.
Paradox. It's a paradox.
Like Donald Logue says, none of it makes sense anymore. None of it.
What a cop-out.
So, here we go. In fact, let's play clip number 6. This is the
panel. One thing is clear. The overload did it. None of us believed it was real, but this is the paradox.
Excuse me?
Particles interacting with each other across two dimensions.
Okay, I'm gonna sit down.
Two distinct realities in a multiverse. Fighting to occupy the same space. Creating chaos. These aren't the things we know. Because they don't belong to us.
Okay.
You know?
And I love that Chris O'Dowd is still skeptical when his arm is gone.
Right.
And he's just hanging out there with a perfectly cut off, like, looks like a butcher shop nub.
Yeah. He's like, counterpoint, the walls eat our arms. What about that?
What about that theory? And none of us believed it, except that one guy on TV that we watched right before firing up this thing.
Yeah, amazingly, like, all these events lined up. Like, the one guy was on TV saying it, and then we had our first successful test, and then all this stuff happened. Like, that's phenomenal.
That's what we call coincidence. Steve, do we have any more time than that 4 minutes and 48 seconds you got going? Oh, another minute. You're being so generous.
I love it.
So then Jensen was trapped. What's this sound clip?
Let's find out.
Let's find out.
Could you do me a favor? Would you mind mentioning to your crew that you're escaping my dimension or trap me in yours?
Yeah, okay.
See, that's also interesting.
Yeah, super interesting.
Because the repercussions of this reverberate through two full dimensions.
Yeah.
That an actual human being disappeared from this planet and is now being introduced to a planet that she is foreign to.
Yeah.
And so, like, the opposite problem that Ava has of, like, I choose to go somewhere where I don't know anything.
Yeah, there's some really awesome moral questions there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that would have been a cool... I guarantee you if we found the God Prodigal script that that's more what it explored.
That's the ending, is them figuring that conflict out.
Yeah, and figuring out, like, what's a better reality? A reality that's real and that you lived in but mm-hmm. has a ton of pain?
Yeah.
Or a reality that is pain-free but you actually don't belong in?
Right.
Like, she couldn't... And what happens when Ava meets other Ava?
Right.
You know, like, I know it's not like Time Cop where when the bad guy touches, in the end, his past or future self and they explode.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know.
It's chaos.
It's chaos. Well, we got like 4 minutes, Steve. You lied to me. I love it. I can't see. So then, I mean, like, they start blaming the German because on Jensen's ship, the German was selling out. What, remind me of that? Because I can't remember.
Yeah, there was some German-Russian conflict that they sort of brushed over.
Seems like that may have been focused more on in the God Particle script, and then they kind of hurried it along.
Yeah, they sort of did.
I don't really remember it now.
Because, in the other one, I didn't really pay attention, but he's selling the ship out so that they could stay up there long enough to weaken Russia, I think is what it was.
Yeah. That's what it was. They were going to delay it long enough to basically make Russia fall and not be a superpower.
Yeah.
Which, that actually also has some kind of political intrigue to it. Adds some conflict on the ship, because otherwise it's just a bunch of people sitting up there going, hey, cool, we're different dimensions. What is your dimension like?
Right.
All right. Because I think, and also bringing in this energy crisis. Jesus, what do I keep doing? I keep leaning into questions. I get very excited.
Quit diving in.
Look at that. I keep diving in. I get very excited about this one. So you think I'd never done this before. Is this good right here? So
everyone just shut the audio off.
Just shut the audio off and just watch it with subtitles. Yeah, there's a ton of cool ideas going on in this that I wish were the focus. But let's play clip number, what are we on?
So this is number 8. This is when they're about to, so the ship is sort of spinning out of control. And this is what you talked about earlier, where they have that moment of like, we have to go out and do it manually. And David Oyelowo is basically telling them, like, no promises here.
I want to give you some comforting advice, but I have no idea how this is going to go.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel like one day when my daughter Daisy is old enough, if the world has not improved, I'm probably, if she's like, Dad, I'm scared, what do I do? I'm probably going to be like, clip number eight. Yeah, whatever.
I want to give you some comforting advice, but I have no idea how this is going to go.
I think you might have been too far away from the microphone.
That's what it was. I need to split the difference.
Yeah.
No, it's all right, Steve. It's fine. Please, it's okay.
It's interesting you bring up Daisy.
I've been eating the microphone all show.
We actually had a camera in the room when you were waiting for Daisy to be born. And I think your dad was there, right?
Yeah.
And he came right up to you and he shook your hand. He saw the fear in your eyes that you were about to have a child, and he just said to you,
I want to give you some comforting advice, but I have no idea how this is going to go.
Yeah, you know, because it's true. You don't know how it's
going to
go.
You don't know.
And it ended up going great.
Good.
It ended up going great. So, you know, everything works out. So there's this whole this ship stuff I don't really remember, and I'm sorry that I didn't watch it yesterday.
You don't have to apologize.
But I remember all the big crazy shit.
Yeah.
Jensen kills Monk. Shoots Monk.
Shoots him. Yeah.
And then wounds Daniel Brühl's character, Schmidt, right? Yeah. And then she's like gone full, this station's staying here. I want to save my people. You know why? I can't hear myself in my microphone.
That's what
I can't hear when I...
That's what it is.
That's what it is. I can't hear myself yelling.
It's the paradox.
So it's the paradox of AfterBuzz. So she and she becomes a villain. And it's this cool twist. And then Ava shoots her out into space, like we said, which has happened 100,000 times before in every space movie ever. That's how almost every alien or xenomorph dies in the Alien movies, almost always. And so I was like, oh, okay, that could have been better. And did you hear something?
Yeah.
What was that? That's how every studio feels. We just heard like a scream from the studio next to us, which is probably how every studio ever feels when we're recording. They're like, Jesus Christ, what are they doing over here? Oh, they're talking about Cloverfield Paradox? No wonder they're yelling so much.
I bet they're diving in.
I bet they're diving in. So let's clip number 9. Let's play this one. Do you know the Save Who We Can? Do you know the setup for this one?
No.
Sure, let's play it.
The only choice we have is to save the people that we still can.
Right.
Yeah, David Oyelowo. He's saying, like, at that point, remind me.
Well, I'm sure. I think this is the husband back on Earth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what this is. And so he's there.
Super prepared for this week, guys.
I'm pretty sure. Also, like, interestingly, not a ton of usable sound clips from this movie.
Not really.
As I went through, there was like, it was either like gargled, or there was a lot of noise going on in the background.
Yeah, or just expositional stuff, like do the thing with the switch and the condensation and the doobadabop.
Or it was not English.
I don't know why I sounded like a really like half-assed Jell-O commercial with Bill Cosby. We got the spaceships and the paradox and the Jell-O.
Well, that would have been a totally different movie had Bill Cosby been on this shit.
Yeah, that would have been something. So yeah, that's where they're realizing there's a rescue effort on Earth, which I almost would have rather seen two separate movies than these smashed together. Yes. Like, show me God Particle, and then the twist is when they end up on Earth, they realize, or Jensen could even be hinting at, like, you have no idea what we're dealing with here. We need this to fight back. And they're like, fight back against what? Like, wars? What do you have going on? And we find out that in Earth 2, this is how you fix it. I figured it out. In Earth 2, you find out that they already fired it up, ripped a hole in space and time, like they said, like Donald Lowe said, mm-hmm. brought monsters to Earth 2. Monsters are tearing apart the world on there, like you said, where we find out everything else has been on Earth 2. And I feel like I'm confusing myself now. And so Jensen's hinting at it the whole time. And then you realize when they get back to Earth 1 that they've brought the monsters from the other dimension with them. Mm-hmm. And so none of the other stuff with Michael has happened yet. They bring the monsters back with them. Because imagine them landing and then the monster landing in the ocean behind them.
Right.
Would have been awesome. We didn't need, because it doesn't make sense that it's already happening while they're, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, they basically wanted the moment of like the flip of seeing Michael on the phone while they're landing and Michael being like,
don't
tell
come
them
back.
To stay, tell them to stay. Like, also, what a dick. Like, tell them to stay in space.
What are they going
like,
to do in
gonna,
space?
They're going to live there for another year, maybe. Like, how do they have unlimited supplies in space? No.
Yeah, they're going to just cryogenically freeze and chill out till somebody says, hey, by the way, we killed all the monsters. Yeah, we got them all.
Likely not. So yeah, they basically did it for that flip to like see the humanity in him once again, to be like, I would rather,
you didn't need any of that.
I would rather she stay alive and me be miserable than have her experience this misery as well.
Then you know what? Show me a separate movie of Ava and her husband when she comes back and realizes she brought this to Earth.
Accurate.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So let's play. Excuse me, I just burped. So that's fun. Can we play clip number 10? This is Ava figuring out that it's not her world. She can't be here. She has to go back.
Yeah.
But this isn't my world. I want it to be.
And that's a beautiful moment where like there's like pain there of her kids died in a fire because she was leeching power illegally, and she warns, that's something we didn't touch on, is that she warns her Earth 2 self not to do that, and it's beautiful, and you can tell it would have been earned in the other movie.
Yeah.
But like I said, there is some really interesting stuff in here, and I think it actually, I know we got 18 seconds, shit, all right, I'll speed this along. I think what this movie does well is it establishes breaking all the rules for other Cloverfield side movies to be whatever the hell they want under the Cloverfield banner, and I think that it's a cool step, just a misguided one. I am all for more Cloverfield movies. I just think maybe start at the beginning knowing it's a Cloverfield film instead of shoving it in halfway through production.
They should not have screwed up what seems like a really good script to do this.
Just make it from the beginning, and I'm on board. I'm on board for 10 more Cloverfield movies if they're more like 10 Cloverfield Lane.
As long as you give Donald Logue more of a...
more stuff. So this has been the Cloverfield Paradox, and I ate the microphone half the time, and, you know, we got fired up. I did, at least too much. So, Jesse, where can they find you until next time?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Too Much Jesse, and for Sketch at The Prom Losers.
You can find me at The Ben Begley, and hey, guys, we have our first podcast that Renee and I we recorded called Parents vs. Baby. The first episode is Getting Pregnant and Beyond. We have it on our Twitter. I tweeted it out, at Parents vs. Baby. You can listen to it on SoundCloud. And check it out. Let us know what you think. Let us know what else you'd want to hear about parenting. If you're a parent or a soon-to-be parent, you'll like it. Or if you just like hearing me ramble, maybe you'll like it too. Until next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.